That's why we refer to staff equivalents instead of a specific number of staff. Yes, the front desk ratios are known. We suggest one non-clinical person for every 12 to 20 new patients per month. So why such a wide range? Because of the equivalent phenomenon that I just described. If you have an exceptional person at the front, she might be capable of processing 20 new patients per month with ease. On the other hand, if you have an undermotivated, attitude-impaired troublemaker, you'll be lucky to process half that number. If you followed the Whitehall program over the years, you already know that we recommend putting staff on a team bonus. All of that can be had by listening to our Team Development System audio program. In our larger practices, we find that two separate tiers of staff naturally develop. The first or higher tier are the department managers, and they are fully bonused. The second or lower tier are driven by the desire to retain their position and someday aspire to the first tier of money and status in the clinic. I refer to this as the carrot and stick system. Although we usually only see this in larger practices, some of our smaller offices have implemented it successfully. For all our listeners, I would suggest a balance between these two. One of our most active field representatives here at Whitehall told me at the conclusion of a 35-office, one-year tour of duty in consulting that the number one problem plaguing Whitehall offices is that they keep underperforming staff too long. The idea of this system is to use the carrot, or bonus, to motivate the willing, and the stick to create low tolerance for poor performance on your part and to keep the office efficient. Too many doctors are afraid to terminate for fear of legal action or just plain hurt feelings. Relative to legal action, those of you who have listened to the Lodmel's audio set entitled You're Hired, You're Fired, You're Sued, you already know that you can shield yourself from unprovoked legal action through their workplace protection package. With this program in place, staff cannot sue without first going through the process that includes binding arbitration. In my opinion, this package ensures that you don't have to be shackled to clock-punching troublemakers. I'm often asked, when you know that you've done all you can to save a staff person. My good friend Greg Jack, president of another practice management firm for years, always said to me that there are only four problems with staff: ability, training, motivation, and attitude. Greg says that if the problem is ability or training, and you have the time, you can usually recover the person. If it's motivation, try the bonus. If that doesn't work, you have an attitude problem and not a motivational problem. And if you have an attitude problem, you need to make a change. Another serious staff productivity problem comes from undertrained staff. This usually reaches the danger point when there's been too much staff turnover in too short a period of time. This has the effect of undermining practice systems. None of the remaining staff in your office really knows how certain procedures are to be handled. Too many doctors quietly burn out on training staff. Too much turnover in too short a period of time, and doctors become unconsciously hesitant about the idea of pouring time and money into the training of a person they don't really expect to stick around. All right, overhead profile point number 3, new patient procurement. This refers to where your new patients are coming from. If most or all of your new patients have been referred to the clinic, you're going to be more profitable than if you have to go out and buy them through paid advertising. For example, the doctor who, through poor consumerism, that is bad cost, convenience, case presentation, etc., is forced to advertise, it's not impossible that he or she may pay $100 to $600 per new patient. And whether it's $100 or $600 will be a factor of how knowledgeable the doctor is about practice marketing. When you add this cost onto half or all your new patients, I think you can see why overhead would quickly become a problem. It's even worse than it seems, because the advertising patients will typically buy less, refer fewer patients to the practice, and in addition to this, they represent a group more likely to miss appointments and become collection problems. And yes, missed appointments and poor collections represent their own class of profitability problems. Even internal marketing can be expensive if you count the staff and doctor's time spent on the projects. If you're not getting 25 direct referrals per month, you may want to work on what we call the referral essence components of the practice. They are cost, your prices, convenience, how soon people can get in, case presentation, not too strong, not too weak, the comfort factor, compassion, how you're perceived by patients, competence. These six are the foundation of our new Referral Mastery audio set soon to be released. See, if you're having to buy patients, you're never going to be as profitable as the person who gets them for free. All right, overhead component number 4, staff turnover. I realize that most of us don't think of staff turnover as a major contributor to the overhead of a practice. But serious turnover is actually one of the few management problems that can cause a doctor to want to quit practice completely. Many of the offices that I encounter are little more than training centers for the surrounding practices. As soon as a person is adequately trained, they go in search of a practice that's more generous, less stressful, closer to home, or one that offers a more emotionally supportive work environment. If you have more than 5 employees, and more than one of them turns over per year on average, you have a problem in this area. But you already knew that, didn't you? When staff turnover exceeds 20%, the lack of trained staff as well as the sheer disruption of the turnover will contribute to a noticeably higher monthly practice overhead. If you do fit this profile of a high turnover office, I strongly suggest you consider the following. Number one, immediately begin doing exit interviews. This is done to get a consensus on the problem. Call former employees that have gotten over being mad at you and listen to what they say about the practice. Number two, contact an employment agency to find out what the going hourly rate is for trained personnel. Make sure that you match that amount. Most of the time, it's the money. When you have high staff turnover, look at what you're paying. Yes, I realize you may actually be paying way too much, but this tells us as much about the practice as anything can. When you have to pay too much to keep staff, you have other serious imbalances elsewhere in the clinic. Number three, look at your hours. Are staff having to routinely work past 6 p.m. or on Saturdays? If so, you've found the culprit. Recruits who are desperate for work will take a job they have no intention of keeping. All right, number four, how far are your employees having to drive each day? The farther they drive, the higher the turnover. If you pay attention, you'll see a trend here. Once they reach a certain distance from the clinic, you can measure their tenure in weeks. Number five, do you have a highly valued, super efficient employee who's especially difficult to work with? If so, she will methodically run off would-be rivals for her clinic supremacy. She'll do this in subtle but effective ways. Every time the doctor is in hearing distance, she'll loudly announce that the new recruit should already be in possession of the information that she's just inquired about. Number six, an insensitive doctor. If you're an insensitive person, you'll be the last to know it. When you do hurt someone's feelings and they complain, you'll make a comment along the lines of, "Oh, that shouldn't have been offensive," or